can I get down so I can move? I like the way you work it. No diggity.
The spotlight is on our athletes on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. Join us for the Athlete Spotlight with David Riley and Princess Cooper. We love promoting the student athlete performing in the classroom and on the field and court. We get the latest from those competing, succeeding, and moving up the recruiting ladder. No scrubs on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio.
Never Had It So Good Sports Talk Radio. We make it easy to talk sports. Tonight is the Athlete Spotlight, and we're featuring the athlete, Kyron Jones. Duck, that's my first time hearing that live. I'm still dancing. Duck, you got any moves left? I know those songs.
Hey, Precious, hey, I just finished sitting down with the robot.
The robot. Oh, you know that this generation that we're talking to, I don't know if they've heard of the robot. Maybe. But Duck, how are you doing? How are you?
Doing well, right here down at home. I'm in West Virginia, hanging out.
Duck, you in West Virginia? Okay. We got about 30 minutes of reception. Let's not waste it for sure. It may be spotty listeners, but I'm coming from Columbia, South Carolina, so we good. Our young man dropped off for just a moment, so we'll wait for him to get back in here. Doug, give me 30 seconds, if you can, your thoughts about the workout of Colin Kaepernick by the Las Vegas Raiders. Just for show
well,
or something?
I think with the Raiders, I think it might be an opportunity, you know, and this is long overdue. Because I was traveling, I didn't see all of the workout, and I'm hoping that something could possibly come out of it because a lot of the information was misconstrued. You know, people took it and twisted it and made it fit whatever they agenda that they had to kind of either – pro or con against Kaepernick?
Yeah, you know, and I know he's been out of the league 5 years, but as I've said many times, I'm praying for him. Whatever he wants to do, I hope whatever he touches turns to gold. And if he wants to still try to get back into the NFL, I hope there's an opportunity where he not only gets latches on with the team, but actually sees the field in some meaningful way. So we'll see. But the Vegas Raiders has always been avant-garde in the NFL. They do their own thing. So, but it's been long. It should have been in the making a long time ago. So I agree with you there. Let's go ahead, Duck.
Yeah.
And get our athlete in here, Kyron Jones. I love that name. Mr. Jones, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. Welcome to the show. I am Princess Cooper with my co-host, David Riley. Duck, go ahead and say something.
Hey, how you doing, Kyron? I've heard a lot of great things about you.
Thank you.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, Duck, I'm going to turn it over to you to get started, and then, Kyron, I'll come back here at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
First, Kyron, I want to just kind of talk about the past few years with the pandemic. How did it affect you, if it affected you at all?
I think the pandemic has affected me in lots of different ways, like first not being able to go to a gym. So that's what kind of led me to, like, learning how to, like, work out and do stuff that doesn't require, like, going to a gym and stuff. And then it kind of just ended up me going to, like, to my school doing workouts as much as I can. And I think it kind of made me more, like, independent when it comes to, like, working out, like, getting where I need to be, like individually and stuff. And I think, I mean, the effects around the world, it was bad. I mean, like, it was, like, a lot of people out. And I was blessed and fortunate enough to where it affect my family as much as it did everybody else. So, I mean, I think it good effects, like, for me personally, but, I mean, the worldly, I mean, it was a horrible thing.
Okay, is mom or dad home?
My mom's home.
Yes, hello, yes. I'm on, and also his dad is on.
Okay, well, I want Mom first, then I want Dad. Mom, you hear me talking with Kyron about the pandemic and how it affected him. How about at home? How did you guys deal with it?
It was definitely something that we can say, you know, that we have never gone through in our lifetime. So it's one of those things that you want to present to your family, to your kids, so they're not panicked, you know, even though you're worried about what's going to happen, you know, as far as their schooling, just in general. So it, honestly, it just really, you know, improves my faith, you know, just in God, and just definitely kind of helping, going through a situation that, you know, we've never gone through, and trying to guide our children as well, too, and just kind of still focusing. And I feel like the time where the kids, because we have twin daughters as well, that are juniors in college, so they also had to come home from school. So I feel like that it really made us even closer as a family, because, again, we normally are very busy with all everybody's doing different activities, so it just made us kind of be under one roof, you know, talk even more, even though, you know, we're very, you know, close-knit family. But, again, it just made us even closer, and I think it increased all of our abilities, just to communicate and be independent, you know, and not definitely focused on the outside and just on our faith and things.
Okay. Dad, you hear a little bit what Colin said as far as working out and stuff. He had to go a little bit of old school where not being able to go to the gym. you know about that one, right? Okay. So you kind of talk to us a little bit about the pandemic.
Yeah, so, you know, first of all, you know, everything my wife shared, you know, is just so true. You know, it impacted the entire family, but to have a, you know, to have an athlete who was working hard to try to figure out, you know, how does he get to college through sports and, you know, continue to work out, you know, when you got somebody like Kyron who's, you know, it's just like, you know, really self-driven, really wants to be independent to get things done. I had to dust off some old school ways of, you know, of getting strong at home. And, you know, he's a kid that works very hard. So, you know, it wasn't hard, you know, to, you know, show him here's some things that you can do. I had an old Bowflex at home. I, you know, been a, you know, college football player myself. I played at North Carolina A&T State University. So I had different things that he could do to help, you know, help him with getting, you know, getting stronger, staying in shape, you know, and build a kid that was growing. So, you know, we stayed very active, you know, with him for sports. My wife did a super job with keeping our daughters engaged from an education standpoint, you know, with where they were at in college at that time. But for Kyrie, you know, it was different. I saw it impact his, you know, his growth overall of being around that team environment in this process. And by far, I saw it impact him when he hit the field, you know, 2 years ago when the, you know, in the pandemic. And then I watched, you know, a kid last year as a junior kind of, you know, in a different place in the pandemic, it, you know, really shining. You know, it showed his hard work. When he hits the weight room now, you can see the independence and the work ethic that I had the opportunity to work with him on. I think one day we were working out together and me trying to show him something, I pulled a calf muscle. And I was like, dude, you're on your own. I can't do all of this. And I went downstairs and told my wife, I'm like, you know, he's still going and I'm hurting. So by the time he gets into the weight room with the rest of his, you know, friends, it's like you don't have to push him. He's just at a different place now.
Okay. I want to come back to Colin. Do you play more than one sport, and how long have you been doing it?
Well, first of all, I've been playing football since I was in sixth grade. Then when I got to high school, I started running track. That's been my second sport I've played throughout high school.
Okay.
He used to play basketball also, but doing three sports in the rigor of Charlotte Christian, We had to make a decision. One of them had to go. So basketball is the one that he let go after his freshman year.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Karen, before I get into this track thing, just tell me what do you take from track that you can utilize in football? Is there any comparison?
Well, I think the biggest comparison is that breakaway speed, like once you break it. I think that track, learning the mechanics of running, that has a really big factor of like keeping that acceleration and where like nobody's going to catch you. And also, I think track does a lot with like power inside your legs. I think running track and like block starts and all that, I think that builds power and explosion where it lets you explode out of tackles and different types of things on a football field. So those are the main two comparisons I can say for track. I can see track helping with football.
Okay. Talking to Coach DeVoe, talking to him, I was going to challenge you in 100 until he told me what you ran. So I'm going to back off on the challenge. So can you kind of tell the listeners a little bit about the final track meet and how you did in the 100, the 2, and I guess you ran on the relays also. So kind of bring us up to date on that.
This week at the state track meet, I set the state record and my school record with running a 10.60 fat time in the 100. In the 200, I broke my school record and won the state meet in the 200 running a 21.60. My 4x1 relay team, we came into the meet as the fastest time in the state, and one of our top speed guys was injured for that meet. So, I mean, we got second. Like we worked hard for it, but we finished second in the 4x1, and then the 4x2, we also finished second in that too. That's kind of how my weekend went as far as track.
Okay, congratulations. That's tremendous. In my mind, I could see me running with you, but that won't work. But, okay.
Just in your mind.
Okay. Thank you, Clay. Okay.
It's possible.
Okay. I want to come to Mom and Dad. Either one of you could take this. You could pass one to the other. I want to know who handles academics, who handles athletics, and how do you manage it?
Yes, I'll take the lead with that. So I am the academic. That's just something because, again, I did very little sports, in school. I did a little bit, but definitely I was about academics. And so throughout their life, it's just been that, they all have loved sport. So it's kind of been like a bargaining type thing that, if you're not getting the work done in the classroom, then you don't get to go to practice. So it's been more of where I want to be competitive, just as competitive in the field as they are in the classroom. And it really has worked out really good. So, just, again, making sure his organizational skills, we had a lot of work that we had to do in middle school. And then once we transitioned to high school, that was a big change. And also he actually transitioned from public school to private school. And, the rigor at Charlotte Christian is really tough. So it was that freshman year was really tough for him because he was pushing himself, on the field and then having to come home and, having an hour, 2 hours worth of work to do after getting home at, 8 or 9 o'clock from practice. So, I just told him that definitely it would be all worth it. That again, so with Kyron, he is just as competitive, in the classroom as he is on the field. He sets goals with football. He sets goals with academics. And so really it's just kind of holding him accountable. And, when he slips up with things as far as forgetting an assignment, I'm more of the role of, okay, you have to take ownership of that. So, it's not the teacher's fault, that they don't care that you had practice. You still have to, you have the same rules, you have to abide by the same guidelines as the rest of the class. So, he's then reaches out to his teacher, he sends his emails, and, whereas in elementary, middle school, I was kind of, advocating a little bit more for him, but he was able to just jump in and do that. And so I've seen each year the growth where it's fewer things, you know, that he's lacking, and he knows that, you know, if I need help, you know, high school rigor's a little tough, so I may have to go to tutoring. You know, that may require me to miss a little bit of football, but there's a balance, and, you know, I'm not going to have my academics come down on account of football. So, you know, I've really been proud of him and how, you know, he's been able to balance both. And like I said, this year he was actually accepted into National Honor Society, and that was a goal when he first came to Charlotte Christian, that he reached out himself to find out what the criteria was to get into Honor Society your junior year. And he followed that rigor and made sure he was eligible to be nominated. And, you know, the same way he's figuring out, you know, how am I going to start on varsity? So, you know, I've had to help a little bit, but he has been very successful. I'm proud of what he's accomplished.
Okay. All right, Dad. All right. Now, Mom said a mouthful. What you got for me?
So this is what I could tell you. You know, in our household, she, you know, my wife is heaven sent when it comes to, you know, understanding what the importance of academics. She and I met in college, and I was a football player. And when she and I met, you know, I'm like, hey, you want to help me with some of my work? Can you type a paper for me? Things like that. It's before computers. And she was like, no, I'm not going to just do anything for you. You got to do it yourself. And, you know, she was the individual that pushed me from an academic standpoint, you know, that, you know, by the time you look at it, you know, I'm in the 90s, and by the time I was done, I interned, you know, 3 summers and graduated in 4 years and never went to summer school. And she and I dated 3 out of the 4 years that I was in college. So that academic rigor has always been in her. So when the kids came along in our household, you know, and they all were into sports, you know, it was a balance between us as parents. You know, I'm going to be the one to push the sport, but I know that you have to balance that. You got to have that right level of focus when it comes to academics. There's no way I was going to get in the way with what, you know, with that priority of academics. So I was like, hey, you can, you know, you keep up with them with what they need to be doing from an academic standpoint, supporting them and pushing them with that. When it came to the sport, you know, I was the one that, you know, I went out on the field with them and, you know, trained, worked them out, you know, took them to training when I was in town. With my job, I traveled a lot. So when I'm out of town, she pushed the, you know, she did the training, taking them for training. But then she also got home with them and worked with them from an academic standpoint. The one thing we stress with all three of our kids is academics is more important than a sport. You can only play sports for so long. But what you get and gain from academics will last you for a lifetime. And we've always stressed that importance with them. We've always, you know, made sure they understood, you know, the priority of what came first. And then, you know, and it just worked out. You know, there are days that I could leave her in there with them having that academic conversation because I'm going to bed. I'm tired after coming off on the field. And I knew she had it. And the next day, it's like, hey, you got to make sure you get them home early so that they can get their studying in. And I can tell you, I think that's something that, as a community, we have to make sure with our black boys and girls, you know, sports is great. And sports can, you know, save you in many ways because they saved me. But I instantly learned when I got in college, academics is what's going to take me to where I'm trying to go. And having a wife that understood that even more than I did just helped with providing a, you know, another parent in the house that made sure we struck the right balance. And it wasn't equally application of what you did when it came to sports and academics. Academics has always been first in our house.
Okay, wow. That's great. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. Before I leave you guys and go back to Karen, I want to ask you, when did you guys realize that, my son is a recruitable athlete. He's pretty good. What grade was he in, and when did it hit you?
I mean, for me, man, I can tell you I've always looked at him to be different. Ever since he was born, all three of my kids are very athletic, and all three are smart. But their love for sports was just different. His love for sports at a very young age. I mean, I know, you know, you asked me what age. I mean, you're talking about a kid that learned how to run before he could walk. You know, Kyren could run before he could walk. His calf muscles as a baby in a onesie were the biggest, hardest calf muscles you've ever felt on a baby. And, you know, I used to ask people, do I need to go get, you know, special shoes for him, because he walked on his toes and he was running before he could walk. And he's always had a love for the game of football. And being that I didn't want him to fall in love with football, I'm not afraid to tell anybody that. Even though I love football and I played it, the thing is that I didn't want to have happen is I didn't want him to fall in love with football, because I know, you know, football requires so much. It teaches you a lot, but the game of football typically don't love you back as much as you love it. So I was like, let's keep him out of it. I tried different sports with him, but, man, he could always run. He was extremely strong. I mean, before he could walk, he could pull himself up and flip over the coffee table. And I used to always tell people, you know, how strong he was. And once he got in middle school, he wanted to play football. He wanted to play Pop Warner, you know, even before, you know, sixth grade. And I wouldn't let him, because I'm like, man, you don't have to play that all your life. Let's stick with basketball. Let's stick with track. And, man, the first, you know, we were getting ready to move to Texas. And I made a deal with him, you know, with moving to Texas, because he didn't want to move. I said, we moved to Texas. That's a football state. I'll let you play football. And, you know, something happened, you know, with us as a family transitioning to Texas that kept us in North Carolina. And I couldn't rescind that, you know, that allowance to let him go play. So he's like, let me play. And then I had a college teammate that lived in Charlotte that coached, that also taught me into letting him play. And, man, the first time we let him play, you know, it was just something you saw, you know, as a sixth grader that was like, you know, unbelievable. But I still wanted to stick with Pop Warner that had regulations around football versus just playing some of that unregulated football. And, man, from the day he hit the field, so before then he was playing soccer. You know, he was also playing soccer and basketball. He was on the soccer field in the basketball court looking like a football player. You know, he was going to – when he fouled you, you got fouled. You know, he was playing soccer, and the ref would tell him he got to go take a seat. He was always very aggressive, always very competitive, always very fast. And I figured, you know, it would come for him. But the thing is, I really was trying to funnel that energy and competitiveness for him with all that athleticism toward a sport that wouldn't be as aggressive as football. And
okay,
you know,
I
can't say enough. I love the game, but it's a tough game.
Got you. I'm going to come back to Kyren. I want real quickly, Kyren, I don't want to run out of time without asking you, do you have a ritual for football and track?
Like what I would do like before a game or something like that?
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar. I mean, I'm more of the type of person where I don't like being in the mix of everything. Like, I'm more of sitting in my locker, got music on. And then as we get, like, closer on the field, warming up, making sure all my guys are straight, ready to go. And then, once we get ready to play and stuff, it's like I'm in, a whole nother, like, zone. And then once that kickoff comes, it's just, like, something that just turns on. So, and then with track, it's just more of an individual sport. I kind of warm up with my, like, headphones in and stuff. And then, like, us as, like, a sprint group, then we start, like, to, you know, like, do blocks and stuff. And then once I hit the track, like, getting ready to run, that's when that same, like, type of mode, like, kicks in, I guess. That's basically it, really. It's like a certain, like, ritual, I guess.
Okay, now, if I came by your locker and you got your headsets on, I lifted your headsets out and put it to my ear, what would I hear?
Well, favorite rapper is NBA Youngboy, so it's usually something with that or like Lil Baby, and then sometimes depending on how I'm feeling.
What is it with this Lil Baby, man? Is that anything like the Whispers or the Temptations or anything like that?
Nah. So I mean, sometimes I'm kind of like depending on how I'm feeling. Like if I'm like kind of like if this is a game, where I'm just like really anxious. That's what I'll play. But when I'm just like calm and like collected, that's what I put on gospel music. I have a gospel playlist I put on, which is kind of like soothing and stuff. So it's either that or rap. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to bring Princess in because I don't want to run out of time. And she's always want to go. Sorry, Dad. She always want to go with a little girl power. So I'm going to turn it over to Princess.
Okay.
It has been awesome just to listen to you all. Congratulations to the entire family, Kyron and Mom and Dad. Just seem to be doing it the right way. And Kyron, I'm going to start with you and then go Mom and Dad because we got about 3 minutes here and we're running out of time. But Kyron, on game day or during the game, who do you hear more, Mom or Dad? Can you hear him in the
chat? So every Friday night. So they're in, like, a little club. They, like, eat dinner, like, right when we're warming up and stuff. So he's always standing right at the gate where I'm coming through, getting ready to warm up. And he's always – both my parents are there, you know, like, grab me up and tell me to, like how to, like, do good and stuff. And then – so then I come back out. I'm getting ready to play. It's a whole crowd of people in the stand. Somehow, every game I always find them because my dad, he likes to bark. He barks. Once I hear that bark, I look, I instantly find him. It's something that's always happened. So that bark, I see him, I know where he's at, and when I like scored, like I was looking at a tape where I scored like a 75-yard run. I looked at the tape and I saw all I could see is him get up from his seat, walk up, and then run like my direction running, and he's just like loud. Definitely, Dad. I always know where he's at most of the time.
Kyron, you have made my night. I am going to go look for tape on you just to see Dad running up and down that sideline of bleachers with you. Mom, I need 30 seconds for me because we're running out of time. Tell me about game day. Do you say anything to Kyron before game day? Do you prepare anything? Give me 30 seconds of that, Mom.
Well, just quickly before he's heading out for a game, you know, I just tell him that it's just a game, just to go out there and, you know, do what he's been trained to do, just play the game. Don't take it, you know, let each play, you know, end that play, and if something happens, you have to move forward and just keep the play. Whatever's happened, you got to move on and just continue the game and get it out of your mind and just continue. And then, of course, my main thing is just my prayer is for health, for safety and health for all the players. You know, I want to win, but health and safety is the most important to me.
Yeah. Okay, Dad, 30 seconds, but tell me about it. Tell me about that barking and then tell me about getting up when you see he's about to break loose. I got to hear it.
Well, on Fridays, I'm a wreck, so I cut the grass on Friday. I typically take Fridays off just trying to get myself together. I don't know how to whistle. I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. So I know how to bark very well, very loud. I know if I bark quickly, he going to recognize me. So I just bark. He turns around and look. If I need him to pick it up, he know I'm going to tell him to pick it up. If he did great, I'm barking, and then I'm usually excited. So I just like to let him know that I'm there. You know, I just love knowing that, you know, letting him know that both his parents are in the stands watching.
Amen. We have got to get you all back. We got a show coming up in less than 60 seconds. But to the Jones family, thank you for the focus on education and sports. But you all have made my night for sure. Kyron, congratulations. I'm going to try to come and see you, but have a great senior year, okay?
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you all for being on Never Had It So Good. Duck, last word.
Hey. Thank you, parents. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys. We owe Coach DeVoe one. This has been a great interview. So, Kyron, thank you. I'll see you soon. I'm in Charlotte. So, hey, we'll catch up.
Awesome. Thank you, Jones family.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Never Had It So Good. Sports Talk Radio. You're here in a moment.